When we took God out of public life, then we lost our purpose. And I hope that's going to change, and I believe it will with prayer. And this thing can be turned around, it can be changed. Because the problem is, if you don't believe the truth, you're going to believe a lie. There isn't anything else. If you don't have the truth, there's nothing left but lies. Are you listening to me? And it doesn't make any difference how much money you have or what position you have. If you could be the president of the United States and believe a lie, you see. And so the issue is we want the truth. And the truth happens to be a person. His name is Jesus. He is the truth. There is no truth outside of Jesus Christ. And so if you don't have Christ, you don't have the truth. And I can tell you, you're believing a lie. Because there isn't anything else. I want you to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. If you want to know, I'm fired up about this. I just think it's time for Christians to wake up and start believing what the Word of God says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 1. Now, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him. That's another thing about life you have to believe, that Jesus is coming and we're going to be gathered to him. You see, that's our destiny. That's where we're going. That's where we're headed. We are headed for Christ. He's coming and we're going to be gathered to him. That's what the Word of God says. In Thessalonians, it's telling us that you have to have one eye on Christ coming and one eye on what you're doing now. Because without his coming, there's no purpose now. But if he is coming and he's going to take us to be with him, we have a purpose in everything we say, do, and think, you see. That's the issue. That you be soon not shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit nor by word or by letter from us, as that the day of the Lord is present. Some people were teaching in those days the Lord had already come. Well, he hasn't come yet for his church, but he's going to come, and we need to be preparing for it now. And it goes on, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there be a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That's talking about the Antichrist, the one that come, is going to come and take the place of Christ, who opposes and exalts himself above all who's called God. Now, the problem's going to be the people that do not have Jesus are going to look for somebody, and they're going to make the Antichrist their God. They're not going to have anybody else. He's going to be their God. If they don't have Jesus, who is God, they're going to have a false God, and he's the one that's going to take over the whole world temporarily. And it's going to happen. That's what it's headed for. The problem is we have in Washington a bunch of people that want to have a one-world government so they can crown the Antichrist Lord. Are you listening to me? That's the problem. You see, they don't have Jesus, so they have something that's false. And so it's important that you vote for people and get people in office that have Christ, because they know the truth, and the truth will set this nation free, you see. Now, it said he's going to oppose, who opposes and exalts himself above everything that's called God. He's going to say he's God. They're going to believe it because they don't have the true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's go on to verse 6. And now you know what restrains that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now hinders will continue to hinder until he be taken out of the way. And then that wicked one will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, after at the end of the tribulation period, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness of them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. Underline that right there. If you don't receive the love of the truth, and the truth is Christ, then you're in this mess with the Antichrist. They receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. You see. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. You want to know why people can't, some people, you can tell them the truth, they don't believe it, they just keep going away from us because they've refused Christ. And because they've refused Christ, the Bible said they're going to get the power to believe a lie. And they're not going to change, and they're going to worship the Antichrist, and they're going to end up the same place he does. You see. And it goes on. For this cause, verse 11, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. You just can't imagine that people that would be in Congress in the United States of America that would want to buy into this one world government, one world thing that's going to go on. You say, how can they do that? It's because God then, because they rejected Jesus, they might be religious, incidentally, but that's not the same as knowing the Lord. And God's going to give them power to believe this lie, and they're going to be carried away into that thing, and they're going to drag this nation with it. Now, what are we to do? We're supposed to be lights in the middle of darkness until Jesus comes for us. That's what we're supposed to do. I don't care if it's Walmart, Kmart, or where it is. We're supposed to be light in the middle of darkness. We're supposed to give people truth, pray for people, and get their attention that there is a true God, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. All right. Look in verse 12. Why are they going to be a lie? Why are they going to believe a lie? So they'll be judged. That's exactly why. If you don't receive Jesus, then you're going to get into that category that believes a lie, that they all might be judged who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I'm here to tell you that the guys that run some Fannie Mae and these companies down the tube and took off with millions of dollars, there's payday coming someday, and it's going to be the judgment of God. They may not get it here, but they're going to get it then. Are you listening to me? They believed a lie that it's okay to run a business into the ground, take away millions of dollars, take people's money. What difference does it make? You say, how can they do it? They don't have Christ. Without Christ, you can do anything. Hitler's organization was called the Third Reich, you know. He said, the last two times they didn't get rid of the Jews, I'm going to take care of the problem. So I'm the third. That's what he said. How could he believe that? Because he didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's exactly the way it was. And if you don't believe in Jesus, anything goes. Oh, you might have a few moral things just to look good. Are you listening to me? I get a kick out of these organizations. They give to, they have hospitals, they have all this other stuff, and they're worshiping the devil. Are you listening to me? That's true. You know why this is the highest crime rate in the city in Illinois? You want to know why? Because there's a lot of people here worshiping Satan. There's cults, and there's witchcraft, and there's the occult, and all of this stuff that people get drawn into that do not know Jesus. And you see, even evil has to have power from somewhere. So we need to wake up, and we need to be a light. We need to wake up and get up and start doing what God's called us to do. We need to have faith. We need to get the power of God in here so we can send it out and make a difference in this city. Are you listening to me? This is important to know. This is not time to be asleep. This is not time to coast in your life. This is not time to be retired. This is the time to be retired and put another tire on called Christianity and do the works of God. Amen. You see, I don't have any other purpose in my life. I don't care about anything else. I just want to do it until I'm gone, till Jesus comes or I die or whatever happens first. Doesn't make any difference. There's no other purpose in my life than that. It's to teach people how to minister Christ to a fallen world. That's the issue. That's what we're doing. That's what we're trying to do. Wednesday night, Sunday morning, and other times as necessary. I'll tell you this, you know, I'd have church on Tuesday if we had people that would come that would want to know more about Jesus, that because that's the purpose of the life, you see. If this was all there was, I'd say forget the whole thing. You know, the problem is that people are living in a universe without God, and so there's no purpose in that. And so it doesn't make any difference what you do. There's no rules. Whatever feels good, do it. Why not get drunk or get wasted on drugs? There's nothing else outside of this. That's what they think. They've been taught. They believe it. We're different. We're Christians. We know the plan of God. We know what's going to happen. We know the final page. We know the purpose of God. We have a purpose in our life. Do I hear an amen? Amen. You see. Let's look at another, some other verses. 1 Timothy 4:1. The Bible tells us exactly the kind of condition we're in right now. It's really interesting. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly speaks that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. That's what I've been preaching on. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving by them who believe and know the truth. Now, I want you to go to another scripture, 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1. These things are talking about what's happening right now. This is history, and this was written hundreds of years ago. It was written in advance. Who can write history in advance? Only the one that can see the whole picture, see the whole parade, knows the beginning from the end, and his name is Christ. You see, he can write about history in advance because he knows exactly what it's going to be. And this in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and chapter 3 and verse 1, this I know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unfaithful, unholy. You know what the biggest problem that most people have is? Because they were disobedient to their parents back when they were growing up, never confessed that sin to their parents, never got that right in their own life, and they're suffering because of that right now. And here it is right in the Word of God. He said, they're going to be disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. That would be half the churches in the United States. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power. Oh, I love the Word. Let's have the teaching, but don't talk about healing and deliverance. Don't talk about the power of God. Don't talk about the Holy Spirit. Don't talk about any of these things that might change us. Are you listening? They have itching ears. They just want to hear what they want to hear, and it doesn't change their life any. And they'd say, oh, what a good service. That wasn't a service. It was a sham as far as God was concerned. If you don't expect God to do something after you hear the truth, then you're misled. You see, if you just expect to come here and everybody just having a wonderful time, just shake hands, wonderful, beautiful, hallelujah, we're going to sing. We heard the message. Wasn't that wonderful? And go right out the door and don't expect anything. You're in the wrong place. You see, because God wants to work among his people first and then move out to the lost world. You see, he wants to clean us up, dress us up, grow us up so we can stand up for the name of Jesus. That's it. Then you can say you had church. I'm really not mad at anybody. I'm just excited about Jesus. Goes on, having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it. Boy, if there's anything that scares me, it's that one right there. You ought to underline that one. I don't want to ever live like that. That would be the saddest way to die, I know. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it, from such turn away. You know why I tell stories about Azusa and Azusa Street and tell stories about other things where revivals take place, and I tell stories about people that got healed? Because I want you to understand that's the normal Christian life. We're so abnormal, we hear the normal and we say, oh my goodness, and I hope that doesn't happen to me. Yes, exactly. So, it goes on then, it lists a few people who got in trouble with that kind of stuff. Were not obedient to God. But I'm going to tell you, if it makes a difference what you believe. If you grew up believing that you would never amount to anything and you're never going to rise above the level you're on right at that point, there's not a whole lot, you're dumb, or because of a few things you did wrong, you'll never amount to anything, I'm going to tell you that's a lie of the devil if you're a Christian. That's a lie of the devil. God, there's no limit in what you can do. Instead of being some little somewhere in some company, you can end up in charge of the thing in Jesus' name. God can give you the power. I don't care what your education is. Are you listening to me? Yeah, he can give you creative ability you never had before. And it comes from God. It makes a difference what you believe. I don't care where your parents were or your family is or anything else. You can be something in Jesus' name. You see, they may have given up, but you don't have to give up. And you don't have to stand back and let everybody else be involved. You can get right in the middle of it. But if you're a Christian, you have the mind of Christ and the ability of God if you just believe what the Word of God says. You see. And that's what I'm talking about. You read about the things Jesus did and said, oh, well, that's history. That was back then. You know, that was the early church. Surely they wouldn't do those kind of things now. Jesus said, this is the way church is supposed to be. Do it just like I did it. Do it like the way Paul did it. Do it like the way Peter did it. That's what church is supposed to be. It's not supposed to be this thing we have now and churches are in now where people don't even want to come. Unless they want to take a nap. You understand what I'm saying? Who'd want to come to that? It's more fun watching the Bears on TV or something. How? Yeah, right. Or how about have a little action here? How about have a few plays of God that's gonna score in somebody's life? Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Let's throw the bomb for Jesus. Hallelujah. We'll throw the Hail Mary, but it won't be Mary catching it. I'll tell you that right now. You know what happens? You start looking the other way, you go downhill. The church goes downhill. Everything has to be just right and neat and everything else. We don't have to worry about that around here. But anyway, you know, if everything has to be perfect and all the voices have to be in right and everybody has to sit in the same pew and, you know, it's all got to be just like it was last Sunday, you're going downhill. You're sliding right down into darkness. And it's going to decrease the effectiveness of God's word in your life. If you believe you came from monkeys or some kind of green slime, the best you can look forward to be it is to be a dash hound or something in the next life, you understand. There's people that believe that stuff. Oh, you know, I believe Jesus changed his mind today. I think he just does it a little different. He wants everybody to be nice and neat and quiet and just kind of sit in their little pew and never say a word. And then that'll be okay. No. But one day, if you're following Jesus, you're going to go into a meeting where somebody gets healed. Are you listening to me? They had a story. I'll give you one of them. They had a story of Azusa Street where this guy came and he had cut two fingers off with a saw. They were totally gone. They had the weirdest thing. I was going to tell you this later, but I'll tell you now. The pastor of this thing lived up over the room where they met for the services, and he'd come down three times a day, and they'd have a meeting. But the first thing he'd do, he'd come down. I've told you this before. It was the weirdest thing. You know, God has a tendency to do some of the weirdest stuff. He'd come down, and he'd sit on the platform and put a box on his head, a wooden box. Over his head completely. And he might have that box over his head. I kid you not, this is a true story. This is what happened. He might have that box over his head for 10 minutes, or he might have that box over his head for an hour. But he'd be praying inside that box, and when God was ready, he'd take that box off, and he could go over and walk over to somebody and say, "You're healed in the name of Jesus," they'd be healed. Well, this guy was there, and he had two fingers missing. And so the preacher took the box off his head, went over to him, and held his arm up high so everybody could see, and say, "You're healed in the name of Jesus." In the next 5 minutes, he had two perfect fingers drew out from his hand. That's a true story. I could tell you story after story after story. And you say, why did God do that in a church where all they had was boards on a bunch of crates and the preacher had a box on his head? There'd be a lot of so-called Christians wouldn't go to a meeting like that. Are you listening to me? But that's what they did. That's what he did. They had miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. Why did God do that? To give people in America faith that God was in business. He hadn't gone on vacation. He was still going to do what he said in the Word of God. And he was encouraging people. And they did. They went out all over the world sharing the Word of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And God will do some strange things sometimes, But I'll tell you, I'd rather be strange for God than dead doing nothing. So these people say, well, you know, he does it better. We're smarter today than they were back then. We're more sophisticated. We have more modern conventions, so we don't need all this healing and all of this stuff. I'm going to tell you, there's hospitals and nursing homes that won't agree with you. You see. And God's got to have a place in Rockford where people can come, where people will love them, and they'll get healed and delivered and lead them to Jesus Christ. God needs a place like that. Now, it's going to be like a hospital. It's going to be a little messy at times. Are you listening to me? But it's going to be a place where people can meet Jesus Christ. And that's what we're looking for. It's not that we're going to be anything. I don't want to care about television. Don't care about any of that stuff. I just want to see people saved, healed, and delivered from the enemy. That's the purpose. That's what I say. I don't care if anybody ever knows my name. Doesn't make any difference as long as they know his name. And his name is Christ. And what did Jesus do? Sometime he spent the whole morning. The minute he got up, they started coming. And he would pray and he would heal them and deliver them and cast out the demons and raise the dead and heal them. And it'd go on until dark. And he'd heal thousands of people all day long. Every single one that came to him got healed. We haven't quite arrived there yet, but we will, I believe. And so I've dedicated the rest of my life to do just exactly what I'm preaching on this morning. I hope that's comfortable. I don't care if it's comfortable or not for you. But I hope it's the desire of your heart. You see, because I'm through playing church. I was through with that a long time ago. And I'm tired of all these denominations that believe this part of the Bible and that part of the Bible, but they don't believe this part and they don't believe that part. We ought to have a church that believes the whole thing. It's not complicated. It's simple. We don't know it all, but we're learning. Now, people get strongholds erected in the ideas in their head that will lead them to destruction if they're not careful. Well, you know, so, Uncle so-and-so had cancer and your mother had cancer and your sister had cancer, so you're probably going to have cancer. I don't think so in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to accept that in the name of Jesus Christ. And I don't have to accept that in the name of Jesus. We need to start standing up for God, even in our own life. Maybe your mother preferred somebody else other than you, but Jesus loves you, this I know. You see? Maybe you aren't the favorite in the family. You see, there's a lot of people weren't the favorite in the family. So I say, well, I just must not be any good. My mother didn't love me like my sisters or my brother, or my mother gave me away, or whatever the case may be. I'm going to tell you, when somebody gives you away, Jesus is going to pick you up. You see? And he cares, and he loves you beyond anything any human could love you. And so you have the love of God. And so you need to come up out of that kind of thinking and start believing that God has a purpose for your life. I don't care how much sin you've got into, how many times you've been married, how many times you've been divorced, how much pot you smoke or anything else, it's time to come to Jesus. You see, he cares, and he will love you beyond anything I could or anybody else here. And so it's time to rise up and understand that God has a purpose for every life on this earth. He even has a purpose for what's his name over there in Iran who's a raving lunatic? That's the guy. Ahmadinejad. That ought to tell you something right there. But I'm going to tell you this. God's got a plan for his life. He just isn't in the plan. You see? He thinks he's supposed to be killing people. He's supposed to be loving people. He's got it completely messed up. You see, he's got this mindset. He's got a stronghold in his mind that says that this one's going to come and is going to change the world. Oh, there's one going to come, all right. He doesn't understand so it's the Antichrist instead of Jesus. You see, he's got this all mixed up. God's got a plan for his life. He's just not in the plan. God's got a plan for us. We made it just not in the plan. You have to come to Jesus. You have to receive him as your Savior. And you have to say, God, whatever your plan is, work it in me. I'm ready. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people sad. There's a lot of people depressed. And I'm talking about Christians. And a lot of people don't even want to leave their house because they have no clue that God has a plan for their life. You see what I'm saying? I don't care how old you are, how young you are. God's got a plan for your life. Get into it. What you've been doing, it probably isn't it. If you're not interested in the Word of God, in the Bible, you're going to miss the whole thing. You're going to miss the purpose for being born in this life. You wouldn't have been born without God. How in the world are you going to live without him? Somebody, where did life start? It didn't start with conception. It started with God. They're arguing over the wrong thing. You see, just because they don't believe the truth, they'll argue about stuff that doesn't mean anything. They'll argue about, well, when's life begin? When's born, or when's that conception, or all this kind of stuff. Both of them are wrong because they don't believe the truth. The Bible says all life begins with God. You see, if you believe the truth, it'll get rid of a lot of these lies and knock out a lot of these arguments that don't mean anything. Now, here's what happens sometimes. I mean, this really does happen, and I understand it. Somebody say you got a mother that's sick, and she's doctor says she's going to die, and so you're a Christian, so you go pray for your mother, and she dies. Well, what do you think about that? Well, some people are going to think, well, I prayed for a mother. She died. I guess I'm no good. There's something wrong with me. I prayed for her. She died. It might have been God's plan, time for her to die. It's up to God who lives and who dies. That's not up to us, but it's up to us to pray. We're supposed to pray for everyone that's sick. Everybody comes around and say, I got this problem. Say, hallelujah. Praise God. I curse that in the name of Jesus. You know, we've got to start standing up. I did this stuff before I was a pastor. You don't have to be a pastor to do this stuff. In fact, I'd rather you do it than me because a lot more people are going to be touched. Don't expect me to do it all. I'm not going to. I'm going to teach people how to do this. That's what I'm doing on Wednesday nights. And I expect you to do it. Start with your family. Start with yourself. Start with your family and then your neighbors and branch out from there. Let's start giving this away. That's what it's all about. And someone say, well, you know, I just don't know. God loves me like he loves everybody else. And he's using everybody else, but I don't know if he can use me. And I tried praying one time, and the person didn't make it, and I just don't think I want to pray for anybody else again. That's right out of the pit of hell. You pray until you see somebody healed. You keep on praying whether you see it or not. And I'm going to tell you, you will see it eventually. God wants to test your faith. He wants to see if you're going to be persistent about this. He wants to see if you believe what you really believe what you're doing. And so you made a mistake. You fall off the horse. Well, you get back on the horse. I mean, I don't understand this thing with Christians. This We do that with everything else. When it comes to the Christian life, we fall off and we stay down there and say, oh, woe is me. I guess God didn't really, but I don't even know if I'm saved. You know, we have to know who we are. I'm going to talk about it. After I'm through with this subject, I'm going to talk about who we are in Christ. If you don't know who you are, you're not going to accomplish what God wants you to do. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to get the whole picture together. But right now we're talking about this. So, you know, this gal, I think her name was April, she prayed for her mother and the mother died. She wasn't the favorite in the family, so she just kind of said, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not going to do anything because I don't think I'm worthy and God doesn't use me and all that kind of stuff. That's a stronghold in the mind. That's a lie of the devil. Are you listening to me? Now, you ever heard somebody say, I'm never going to love anybody like that again? Man, look what they did to me, and I gave them all of me. I gave them all my love, and they just threw it in the garbage can. So I'm never going to love anybody like that again. That's a stronghold in the mind. It's right out of the pit of hell. You see, you fall off the horse, you get back on. I don't know where we got this idea. We Christians have the strangest ideas if they don't believe the truth. They really do. It's just amazing. How about this one? I don't care what my parents say, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care what my parents say, I'm going to do it anyway. I got a kick this on TV the other day. They had an interview with this guy, and he said, I get in a lot of trouble, but I'm very careful when I think about my mother. I'm real good. Big deal. Well, if I don't care what my parents think about it, I'm in rebellion. And I need to confess that as sin because it'll lead me right down the tube. And usually it does. And there's a lot of people, 30 years later, they got a family, everything's all messed up, and they say, I don't understand how this happened. I'll tell you how it happened. You were rebellious back there with your parents. I know because I was. And it took me till 33 years old to even come to Jesus because of the stupid stuff I did back when I was a kid. But I know that now, so I tell people, my goodness, get it together. Doesn't mean your parents are always right. But that kind of thing will bring strongholds in your mind that'll mess you up for life. I don't care what my spouse thinks about it, I'm going to do it anyway. I know I'm married, but I'm going to do it anyway. I know I'm supposed to be responsible to my family, but I'm going to do this anyway. Well, that's a slide right down to hell. Are you listening to me? It makes a difference what you think. It makes a difference how you what you have in your mind. Because what you have in your mind, you're going to speak out of your mouth, and then you're going to do it. That's the same way with God. What you have in your mind, you're going to speak out of your mouth, and then you're going to do it. You see. And we say a lot of things in anger that cause strongholds in our mind. I'm going to hurry up here. We're going to have a prayer and finish this. Strongholds are easily broken. One of the worst places to get strongholds in your mind is if you've ever been into an occult group or any kind of witchcraft, astrology, fortune tellers, whatever. What they do is put strongholds in your mind that keeps you away from the Lord. That's exactly what they do, and people pay for it. It's really interesting. You go pay to get messed up. And they'll put these things in your mind, and they're like darts into your mind, fiery darts, the Bible calls them. And they're into your mind. It's a stronghold, it's a fortress, and it will control your life. Now, they're easily broken. You can get rid of this stuff. I'm going to give you a prayer. I'm going to read it, and then you can pray after me if you like. not the first time, so let me read it. Dear Heavenly Father, I repent for, and you name whatever it is, that contradicts your word. Confirm in me the truth of your word on this subject. I repent of any beliefs that are contrary to your nature that I have gained through my life experiences that are not accurate. I repent for any words I have spoken from my heart that were declarations against your purposes. Forgive me for these sins. I declare that I will follow you in everything without exception, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for healing, your healing mercy and grace, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, if you want to, maybe just everybody say it, but if you need this and mean it in your heart, somebody's going to get freed right now. This is going to be part of the works of God right here. Dear Heavenly Father, I repent for, quietly name whatever it is, particularly rebellion if you had that, that contradicts what your word states. Confirm in me the truth of your word on this subject. I repent of any beliefs that are contrary to your nature that I have gained through my life experiences that are not accurate. I repent for any words I have spoken from my heart that were declarations against your purposes. Forgive me for these sins. I declare that I will follow you in everything without exception in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your healing mercy and grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand before the Lord. Elders, come and let's worship the Lord and let's just let God work. Let's just let God work.